Thank you, Jeremy. Isaiah 6:8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." God can use you right where you are. God can use a farmer sitting on a tractor, taking care of his land, raising hay, shepherding his cattle. A young man going off to a strange land to love and guide children he's never met, teaching them about Jesus while bringing them joy in play. An older woman while she teaches kids to sing songs of encouragement in Sunday school. A custodian vacuuming the church carpet, wanting to do a perfect job because he knows it's God's house. I want to share a story with you today, and the story was written by John Thomas Oakes and published in the Christian Reader. This was some years back, and some of you have probably read or heard this story, but I thought it would be especially good for Rick because Rick's going to know exactly the place I'm talking about. It was a chilly Manhattan, but warm inside the Starbucks shop on 51st Street and Broadway, just a skip up from Times Square. Early November weather in New York City holds only the slightest hint of the bitter chill of late November. That weather in New York can be treacherous. And in December and January, it gets even worse. And it's enough usually to send the masses crowding indoors for available space and warmth and hot coffee. For a musician, it's the most lucrative Starbucks location in the world. I'm told that consequently the tips can be substantial if you play the tunes right. Apparently, we were striking all the right chords that night because our basket was overflowing. It was a fun, low-pressure gig. I was playing keyboard and singing backup for my friend, who also added rhythm with an arsenal of percussion instruments. We mostly did pop songs from the 40s to the 90s, with a few original tunes thrown in. During our emotional rendition of the classic, "If You Don't Know Me By Now," I noticed a lady sitting in one of the lounge chairs across from me. She was swaying to the beat and singing along. After the tune was over, she approached me. "I apologize for singing along on that song. Did I bother you?" she asked. "No," I replied. "We love it when the audience joins in. Would you like to sing up front on the next selection?" To my delight, she accepted the invitation. "You choose," I said. "What are you in the mood to sing?" "Well," she said, "do you know any hymns?" Hymns. The woman didn't know who she was dealing with. I cut my teeth on hymns. Before I was even born, I was going to church. I gave our guest singer a knowing look and said, "Name one." "Oh, I don't know. There's so many good ones," she said. "You pick one." "Okay," I replied. "How about His Eye Is on the Sparrow?" My new friend was silent, her eyes averted. Then she fixed her eyes on mine again and said, "Yeah, let's do that one." She slowly nodded her head, put down her purse, straightened her jacket, and faced the center of the shop. With my two-bar setup, she began to sing, "Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come?" The audience of coffee drinkers was transfixed. Even the gurgling noises of the cappuccino machine ceased as the employees stopped what they were doing to listen. The song rose to its conclusion. "I sing because I'm happy, I sing because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me." It was a holy moment. When the last note was sung, the applause crescendoed to a deafening roar. I mean, that roar would have rivaled a sold-out crowd at Carnegie Hall. Embarrassed, the woman tried to shout over the din, "Oh, y'all go back to your coffee drinking. I didn't come here to do a concert. I just came here to get something to drink just like you." But the ovation continued. I embraced my new friend. "You, my dear, have made my whole year." That was beautiful. "Well, it's funny you picked that particular hymn," she said. "Why is that?" "Well," she hesitated, "that was my daughter's favorite song." "Really?" I exclaimed. "Yes," she said, and then she grabbed my hand. By this time, the applause had subsided, and it was business as usual. She was 16 and died of a brain tumor last week. I said the very first thing that found its way through my stunned silence, "Are you going to be okay?" She picked up her bag, gave me her card, and then she was gone. But before she left, she said, "I'm going to be okay. I've just got to keep trusting the Lord, singing his songs, and everything's going to be just fine." Was it just coincidence that they happened to be singing in that particular coffee shop on that particular November night? A coincidence that this wonderful lady just happened to walk into that particular shop? A coincidence that all the hymns to choose from, he would have just happened to pick the very hymn that was the favorite of her daughter, who had died the week before? I refuse to believe that. God has been arranging encounters in human history since the beginning of time. And it's no stretch for me to imagine that he could reach into a coffee shop in Midtown Manhattan and turn an ordinary gig into a revival. It was a great reminder that if we keep trusting him, doing his work and singing his songs, everything's going to be okay. See, God wants to use his people, even a musician in a coffee shop. So next time you feel like God can't use you, just remember, there are many examples in the Bible where God chose very unlikely candidates to fulfill his purposes. Quite possibly the reason the Bible has been the number one bestseller for hundreds of years is because the Bible is full of stories of men and women and children and even donkeys that God could use to fulfill his purpose. God uses less than extraordinary people. I mean, listen to this list. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was not attractive. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. I'm not emulating Isaiah ever. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep even while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was way too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. So he can use just about anybody. But I think to be good at his hands and feet, first off, we need to seek his face. A major priority of God is that we spend time with him. not only just in his word, but quiet time with him, friendship time with him. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. From Psalm 63, verse 1. Unfortunately, trouble operates like a magnet on our attention. It takes effort to detach our gaze from the adversity and fix it on God. But by developing a constant habit of seeking the Lord's presence throughout each and every day, we will find it a whole lot easier to follow him and do his will, even in a crisis. The Holy Spirit stands ready to sharpen our spiritual eyesight. The best practice is when the issues in our lives are normal and the stress level is tolerable. However, these are the very times when we're most tempted to focus on our routine and not seek our Heavenly Father. Every believer needs to carve out time with God. There are many Christians who think they prove their love for the Lord by going to church and tithing their income and occasionally sharing the gospel. And all those things are important, but actions are empty unless we're connecting with God personally on a regular basis. Doing so demonstrates how much we value our relationship with him. Since the people we spend time with are usually the people we love most, it is so important to share that time with God and then be able to share with them. Believers often rationalize saying, I am a little too busy. We tell ourselves, I just need to finish a few things and then I'll pray and then I'll read the Bible, then I'll spend some quiet time. But there always seems to be a new task to replace each completed one. I think we have to choose to spend time with the Lord every day. Changing our schedule to give God his rightful place sometimes can be pretty difficult. But no other relationship in your life equals that relationship that you will have with the Lord. We have to make him our top priority. We must become people who habitually look for the opportunity that God provides. We can look for it in creation, in the Christians with whom we worship and serve with, in the lives of others, and especially in our own lives. With spiritual eyes trained to seek the Lord, we will be able to look up and find him, even in the darkest times of our lives. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Most of you know who that was gazing up. That was Stephen. He was being stoned to death. And yet, in the midst of that intense crisis, where did he look? And understand, too, God is the one who will take the initiative. Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as his counselor? The answer that reverberates through the millennium is no one. Absolutely no one. God stands in the august solitude of himself. When he acts, it's because he himself has taken the initiative and made the decision to do so. To discern his heart, we could look at Genesis. I mean, God took the initiative to create the universe. And God said, he took the initiative to create man. Let us make man in our own image. He took the initiative to create woman. I will make him a helper. And God took the initiative to send his son to be our Savior. How unbelievably awesome is the one who created everything. Our heads should bow, our wills should yield, our hearts should love the one who took the initiative and revealed his glory, his heart, throughout eternity, his deity, and his activity. What's our mandate in all of this? Our mandate is to share his love and mercy. God's plan for every believer is made up of a lifetime of small opportunities. No matter what our career or calling may be, we should seek ways to serve the Lord daily. And we can do that by ministering wherever we are, to family members, to friends, neighbors, coworkers. And that ministering might be just sharing your hope. That might be just listening when they're down and need to talk. Since the Lord gives his children, all of us, gifts and talents suitable for fulfilling his purposes, we know that he wants to use us. The question we should be asking is, can God use me? That is, have we made ourselves available to follow him in any circumstance? I mean, the areas of service he sets aside specifically for us, they're waiting. No one knows ahead of time exactly what God is going to require. But one thing is for sure, whatever it is, he will equip you for it, whatever that might be. I think a lot of us have fear that we won't be able to do what he asks. Never fear that. He will equip you. So the question is, are you ready to say, God, use me. Here I am. Send me. If so, the Lord is ready to use you. He's going to provide opportunities, availabilities for you to work for him in many ways. And you just never know when that opportunity is going to come up. He responds, he places people and opportunity in your path constantly, especially when you tell him, I'm willing, I'm available. And through his strength, you can do more to further the kingdom than you ever imagined. One day, one small act at a time. You just don't know how he's going to use you. See, I don't think we should have excuses about this. God can use us to our potential if we're willing and available. Just remember one thing. Don't fear. You aren't the message. You're only the messenger. That takes a lot of the worry away from this. You can use him. As you can see behind me, today is a day that we celebrate a most awesome time. In fact, to me, the pinnacle of all history hinged on the crucifixion and the resurrection. And when Jesus had his disciples at the table, he talked to them not only about the things to come, but about the things that were. But that statement that he made about doing this in remembrance of me, that has always touched my heart with great warmth, that he gives us the ability to share that very same time and to remember what he did for us. I'm going to ask, well, first I need to let everybody know that we practice an open communion here at Lolo Community Church. And by that I mean we welcome you and encourage you to participate with us in communion if you believe Jesus is the Christ. What we're going to do, too, is we will take the bread, pray over the bread, read a scripture, and then we will eat together. And then the cup, we'll take the cup, pray over the cup, read some scripture, and take the cup together, so that we are celebrating this most marvelous time together. So, Gary, would you please come and pray for the bread?
Our Father, we are here in obedience to your command. Humble our hearts. Help us to see the mystery and the majesty behind communion that will enrich our walk, will humble our hearts, and will strengthen us, where it will implant in us the knowledge of the price it took for the forgiveness of sins, that we might be saved. Help us to understand that the Son of God had to have his body broken to pay for the sins of the earth. An innocent, sinless person, and the Son of God was the price for our sins. Help us to remember that as we take communion. May we never do it with anything in our heart except humbleness and gratitude. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, as we take this cup symbolizing the new covenant in your blood, symbolizing the tremendous price that was paid through the scourging and onto the cross, we are humbled that you would love us that much. But we are encouraged to know that we are, who have accepted you, your children. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to participate in this time and to remember the love that you showed us. So we ask a blessing on this time in Jesus' name. Amen. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We'd all stand for the benediction. Father, as we leave this place with a fresh infilling of your word, your spirit, may you watch over us. May you go before us to lead us in holiness and righteousness. May you walk behind us and give us strength and courage to face every challenge that may come. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed each of us. And I just ask you to grant us this day a fresh filling, powerful filling of your Spirit. Renew us. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.